All right, guys, let's take a look at 1 Samuel chapter 28. We're getting near the end of Saul's life. He's desperate more than he's ever been, and he's sinking to all-time low. Here's the interesting thing about the Bible when you think about it. If you compare the Bible to other religious texts like the Quran or the Book of Mormon or anything along those lines, here's what you end up finding out. If you were going to make up a story, you wouldn't make up a story where men are so depraved and so weak. You'd make up a story with heroes that was appealing to its reader. The very fact that we watch David's decline and David's ascent and Saul's decline is because it's real life, real people, real time, real history. And here you go. Everything that Saul has done leading up to this point is going about to catapult him in deep descent into this all new low for him. So what happens? Well, first of all, he's afraid. What else is new? Because fear absolutely runs the guy's life. Remember, the opposite of fear is love. Perfect love cast out fear. A man without love, a man without sensitivity, is going to be a man who's worried, fretting, insomniac. If you're afraid constantly, you lack love. Look at it that way. I know we look at it as though I don't have enough faith, I don't have enough trust. Look at it as you don't have enough love. If we have enough love, perfect love cast out fear. Anyway, Saul is burdened with incredible fear. And the first thing he does is he says, you know what I need to do? I need to go see a witch. I was like, come on. If you ever have to say, I need to go see a witch, you know you're in trouble. Not only does he have to go see a witch, he's already told the witches to get out of the country. He's going to see a rebellious witch who never listened to him to begin with. On top of that, he's going to, out of shame and embarrassment, he's going to disguise himself. Listen, whenever you're riddled with fear, you have no love. And whenever you're disguising yourself, it's only because you're doing something pretty stupid, pretty shameful, pretty embarrassing, or you are afraid to be real. Saul is all of those and all the above. He's afraid, he disguises himself, and he goes to seek out a spiritual person. Hey, listen, we use this word spirituality a lot. Let's always make sure that our spirituality doesn't compromise truth for the sake of spirituality. We're not in the business of being spiritual. We're in the business of being spiritual as it pertains to being biblical. This woman is not biblical. So what do you do when you've cut yourself off from all advice and all counsel and all truth? You get desperate to pretend like you're someone else to find somebody who can speak truth. And the only man that he knows that can speak continually truth into his life is Samuel, who's dead. So they have this spiritual ritual, and they call up Samuel to communicate with him. And it's revealed that Saul is actually an imposter. It's not who she thinks it is. It's actually the King Saul. Here's the thing. When you desire answers more than the one who has the answers, you skipped a step. When you're desperate to be someone other than who you are to get an answer or a resolution to a problem, before you seek the one who has the answer or who knows how to solve the problem, Christ himself, you skipped a step. Saul is skipping step after step after step because he didn't plot along day by day, dependent of God for himself. You and I need an appetite for God that is sufficient, that he is sufficient for that appetite, not what he can do for us. When your relationship with God becomes conditional upon what he can do for you, you skipped a step. The person of Christ, Yahweh, which means the all-sufficient one, who said, my grace is sufficient. You and I need to come to terms with the idea that God is enough. Not the trappings, not the blessings, not the possessions, not the homes, not the IRA accounts. God has to be enough emotionally, psychologically, spiritually for us. Once he is enough, then what he does on our behalf is something we're grateful for. We can be grateful for things, but we need to be grateful in Christ, in the name of Christ, for him living in us. Another thing, if you have to go seek someone out to give you an answer that you could get from God because God is no longer talking to you, you skipped a couple steps. You and I need the kind of relationship that where we can go boldly to the throne of grace. We don't need someone else to help us. By the way, your spiritual walk is your spiritual walk. Others can help us, but we don't live out our spiritual walks through others vicariously. God isn't running some sort of biblical TV reality show. He's interested in a direct communication with you, not through anyone else. The only mediator between you and God is the man Christ Jesus. So think about that. Don't rely too much on others. Don't seek answers. Seek the one with the answers. And don't allow yourself to get so fear-ridden, so paranoid, so totally tripped up that you're looking for what God can do for you before you're actually looking for Him and just Him. Because when you don't do that, you're really saying, God, you're not enough. I need you to do something beyond who you are to satisfy me. And that is not cool. That is skipping a lot of steps. Think about these things as you prioritize what matters most to you in this relationship. Not what God can do for you, but more so who He is and who you can be in Him. Now, this is a whole other way of looking at Christian life. Think about that. Psalm 20, verse 7. Don't trust in chariots and horses. Trust in the name of the Lord your God as you walk out and journal this week. 1 Samuel chapter 28. Enjoy.